In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, I spoke about this 4th of July holiday weekend, and I remind us that we should give thanks for this great nation of ours and its many blessings. We also pray for continued blessings for ourselves. And in the biblical tradition, going all the way back to Abraham and Sarah, we pray to be blessed so that we may be a blessing to others. Generally, I don't preach on social issues because in any congregation, there are a variety of beliefs. Some conservatives, some liberals, and some in between. Most everybody knows where I come from. Basically, I'm a conservative independent. But I don't think I should preach my political views to a captive audience. That is what the radio show is for. My job is to preach the Word of God. Now, this is a time for taking stock. Are we being a blessing to others? Right now, it seems that what we are best is at disagreeing with one another. We are so polarized and divided amongst ourselves that it is difficult to focus on being a blessing to others. Consider the news stories of recent weeks. The violence and ignoring warnings of a virus is downright scary. As the wealthiest nation on earth, is there any talk of being a blessing to others amongst all the rhetoric? And I'm most concerned with our role as peacemakers. As a reigning military superpower in the world, are we learning what truly makes for peace from our own traditions? It seems like we are journeying through a time of great change that we see almost every 500 years. The last one being the Reformation that launched Protestantism as a tradition. What we need to emphasize, though, is that the Reformation wasn't just a time of great change in the church. The great seismic shifts that rocked religion quaked through all of the European culture. The printing press was causing an information explosion like today's social media on the internet. The days of the Roman Empire were shifting to a rise of nationalism that led to democracy and capitalism. And one of the things that can happen at a time of great change is polarization like we are going through now. When one reads Martin Luther and other reformers and the Catholic counter-reformers, it is striking how polemical their writing can be, sometimes with considerable vehemence against their opponents. For example, the early writings of Luther are the best when he was focusing more on simply articulating his new insights rather than the later Luther, who always seemed to be arguing with someone. Luther, the Church of England, and others changed the world. The first century was another one of those times. In fact, as Christians, we believe that it was the foundational change point in all of human history. That's why we mark time as B.C., before Christ. Human beings and human history will never be the same because God came into the world in flesh, in Jesus Christ. God's way for us to be human actually took on flesh and bones and became human so that hereafter human beings and human history are forever undergoing the transformation from our way to God's way. That's the dynamic precisely at play in today's gospel reading. Our human way was coming face to face with God's way through an exchange between John the Baptist and Jesus, an exchange which is the focus of Matthew chapter 11 in its entirety. Today's portion gives us the tail end of this exchange, the front end of which we read on, which we read on the third Sunday of Advent. And why Advent? Because John the Baptist is a featured figure during that season of preparing for Christmas. In Matthew 11, John has been following Jesus' ministry from prison, where Herod has landed him. And he sends his disciples to ask Jesus if he is the one coming to liberate them, or whether it will be another. John has questions because Jesus seems to be putting a very new twist on their Jewish faith. Today's reading gives us the end of Jesus' response to John, marking over the difference between his teaching and from other rabbis, with the difference between our human way and God's way being the underlying dynamic. Most other rabbis have a yoke, a teaching that expects God's liberators to someday free them by defeating their enemy's army. Jesus, in his answer, is indicating that his path, his yoke, is completely different, confounding all the popular wisdom that has come before him. Jesus' way may even scandalize or offend John the Baptist. In verse 12, just four verses before today's reading, Jesus tells them straight out that the kingdom of heaven in heaven is about choosing to suffer or endure violence, as opposed to those who inflict it. His inaugural sermon was about turning the other cheek and loving one's enemies as the true way, as the yoke that leads to peace. His yoke is about kindness to all, and he himself is gentle, non-violent. It's such a startling different way that it even represents a break from the one who came to announce him. It's one of those times of such great change that even wise adults must go back to being like infants to learn anew. So we circle back to the point that we are once again in one of those times of great change where we need to learn almost everything about our faith anew. Or as I have learned, that we can't just read the Bible, we have to study it. Every day as I read the Bible, I have a commentary that explains what I have just read. I used to tell my English students that when you read anything, you have to ask questions. Who wrote it? Why was it written? Who was it written for? And when was it written? We have to ask those same questions when we read the Bible. And there are some very disturbing stories in the Bible. We have to put what was written in the perspective of when it was written. Bible study is so very important. When was the last time you really read the Bible? And be careful when you do. It can be upsetting. My sister-in-law told me once that she started reading the Bible and she had to quit because it scared her to death. I asked her, well, what were you reading? And she said, I started reading Reformation. And I said, don't read Reformation first. Start with the Gospels. The Word of Jesus. I'll be honest with you. There are some things in the Old Testament and in Reformation that scares the hell out of me. When you read the Bible, have a commentary and that explains what you have read, or else have someone to talk to about it. My faith is based on what Jesus says, not Moses, not David, not John, not Peter, not Paul. I'm a Christian named after Christ. In conclusion, I repeat again and again and again what Jesus says to me. He says, love me as I love you. To love others as I love you. Unconditionally. That's tough. He says, do not judge others, for that is how you will be judged. And that is scary. To forgive. And he says, I came not to be served, but to serve. And again, all of this is unconditionally. I try to do these things, but I fail. Sometimes I fail miserably. After all, I am a human being. So all God asks of me and of you is to strive with all we have to do as he says, and more importantly, as he does. Let us all pray for the strength to keep trying. Praise be to God. Amen.